Harper Audio presents Fatal Flaw by William Lashner. Read by Peter Francis James. Guy Forrest was sitting on the cement steps outside the house when I arrived. His head was hidden in his hands. Rain fell in streams from his shoulders, his knees, tumbled off the roof of his brow. He was slumped naked in the rain, and beside his feet lay the gun. From his nakedness and the diagonal despair of his posture, I suspected the worst. "Guy, what did you do?" I shouted at him over the thrumming rain. His voice was like the whimpering of a beaten dog. "I loved her. I loved her. I loved her." Then I no longer suspected. Then I knew. I leaned over and lifted the gun by the trigger guard. No telling what more damage he could do with it. Careful to leave no prints, I placed it in my outside raincoat pocket. The door to the house was thrown open. I stepped inside. Later on in the press, the house would be described as a love nest. But there was really nothing fancy or decadent about it. It was just a modest old stone house in a crowded Philadelphia suburb just over City Line Avenue. The walls were bare, the furnishings sparse. There was a sense of biding time, of making do until real life with real furniture began. The bedroom. That's where I would find her. Rain dripped off my coat like tears as I climbed the stairway. As I rose ever closer, my steps slowed. A complex scent pressed itself upon me, like a smothering pillow. I could detect the sharpness of cordite, and something sweet beneath that. Jasmine. And then something else. Something coppery and sour. Something desolate. A few steps higher, and then to the left, to the master bedroom. The door was open. The bedroom light was on. She lay on the bed. Her frail, pale body twisted strangely among the clotted sheets. Her legs were covered by the dark blue comforter, but it was pulled down far enough to reveal her cream silk teddy, shamelessly raised above her naked belly. Crimson spotted the blanched white of her skin. The teddy was stained red at the heart. The sight of her unnatural posture, the colliding sense of gunpowder, of blood and jasmine, the brutal mark of violence on her chest, all of it, the very configuration of her death, overwhelmed me. I was lost in a long emotional vision, but when I recovered enough to function, a decision had been made, an implacable decision, yet pure and right. A decision had been made, and for the rest of my involvement in that death and its grisly aftermath, that decision guided my every step, starting with the first. I took a deep breath and entered the bedroom. I leaned over the bed and stared closely at her face. Her name was Haley Prue. Black hair, blue eyes, long-necked and pale-skinned. She was 30 years old and lovely as a siren. While still alive, she had peered out at the world with a wary detachment. She had seen too much to take anything at face value. Her manner said as clear as words. She had been hurt too much to expect anything other than blows. She wore sharp, dark-rimmed glasses that were all business, but her mouth curved so achingly you couldn't look at it without wanting to take it into your own. And her stare, containing as it did both warning and dare, could weaken knees. To gaze at Haley Prue was to have your throat tighten with the wanting, and not just sexual wanting, though that, of course, was part of it, but something even more powerful. There is inevitably, I suppose, a gap between all we ever wanted and all we ever will have, and that gap can be a source of bitter regret. But sometimes there is a glimpse of hope that the gap might be narrowed, might even be obliterated by one brilliant leap. In Haley Prue's detached beauty and the silent dare to break through her barriers, there was a glimpse of that hope. Oh yes, she was a siren.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?